What a blessing it is to worship the Lord. On Wednesday nights, we've been preaching famous verses from the Bible. And last week, Wednesday, we were in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God has good thoughts concerning us and great plans for us. And today we'll be in the New Testament in the 10th chapter of St. John. Everybody say 10:10. Chapter 10, verse 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. This is a famous verse from the Bible. You say, how famous is it? Well, I did a monthly Google search, and every 4 weeks, according to Google, John 3:16 is Googled 2,100,000 times. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, last week, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, is Googled 82,000 times. John chapter 10, verse 10, is Googled 73,000 times. Matthew 28, verse 19, is Googled 50,000 times. That is going to all the world and preach the gospel. Proverbs 3:5 is 58,000 times. That is trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, 42,000 times, and that is think good things. So we're looking at John 10:10, and we're going to look at some things tonight that will strengthen us in the Lord. How many could stand a little strength from the Lord? Amen. And Jesus, of course, is speaking, and he's full of strength. Amen. Verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What an amazing statement. I want to use for a subject tonight, Jesus brings with him abundant life. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about abundant life. I want to talk to you about the opposition to abundant life. When Jesus Christ said, I have come to bring to you abundant life, he didn't mean that you would have two houses and two cars, Mercedes-Benz, Rolls Royce. He didn't say that you'd be a millionaire and would roll in the $100 bills before you go to bed at night. He wasn't teaching that you were going to be, you know, just start raving rich. Jesus was teaching that there's something more to life than money or houses and land and property, and that is a relationship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father, because abundant life doesn't come through things. Abundant life comes through Jesus Christ and a right relationship with He who made us, our Creator, our Father in heaven. So abundant life, there are rich people that have all kinds of money. They have security as far as finances. They have houses and land. They travel in their own jet airplanes. They do whatever they want to do. And you would think that they have abundant life, but many of them are miserable because abundant life doesn't come through things. It comes through a miracle birth, being born again into the kingdom of God. And so I'm glad that a poor boy can have abundant life. A rich man can have abundant life. Everyone in between can have abundant life. You may feel like you're in between. You feel like, well, I'm not poor, but I'm not rich. And we got you anyway. We got you coming and a going. Amen. Abundant life. Jesus Christ can provide that to us because he brings to earth with him abundant life. Now, in studying this verse of scripture, and I spent quite a bit of time because I wanted to pull the riches out of it. I wanted us to see the strength of what Jesus Christ was actually saying. And so I listened to a few people that were trying to teach that the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is not the devil. They were trying to preach that it was not the devil. They were trying to teach that it was false prophets and false teachers. Well, you know, I'm going to join on this end of the spectrum. Yes, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is the devil, and he has all his false prophets and false teachers working with him to take away from us abundant life, to destroy us. And so I want to say today that we live in a world that is in strict opposition to God Almighty, strict opposition to serving Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ came to earth so that he could secure for us abundant life. Why? Because we didn't have it. And you didn't have it till you got born again. Abundant life, of course, is everlasting life and being right with God. So I want to begin by simply sharing this first thought. The devil and his false prophets steal, kill, and destroy. Let me say that again. The devil and his false prophets steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the word destroy here in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. The word destroy is to utterly, fully destroy. It means to bring a situation to where one will perish. Now, if we're going to talk about the devil, in which I don't enjoy that topic at all, I don't like him at all, I despise the devil. I know there was one preacher got up one time, he said, I'm preaching on the devil today. And he said, I'm full of the subject. Well, I don't want to be full of the subject. But I do want to be a person that understands the devil. And if the devil, and he is a thief, a murderer, he is a destroyer, I believe that he comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy, then we ought to know something about how the devil operates. Hello. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, I want us to look at something about the devil that Peter shared with us. Notice it says, casting all your care upon Jesus because he cares for you. Be sober. That means don't be drunk and be alert and be not intoxicated with pleasures and the things of the world. Not just intoxication in liquor, but be sober, be wise, be very vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Notice the word devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, I want you to notice that Peter said that the devil's like a roaring lion. And he connects a word, that last word in verse 8, that he comes and he devours. It's a roaring lion, he comes seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour is also connected to the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And so Jesus Christ is trying to tell us the character, which is wicked, of the devil. And so Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, be careful, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour there, now the Bible says the thief coming up but for to steal, kill, and destroy, and the word destroy there means fully destroyed and literally brought to naught. And the word devour here means to slurp up, to drink, to slurp, to lick up. You can look it up yourself. To gulp up completely or entirely. What it's showing us is the devil's end result is he's not satisfied to kill you and maim you. The end result is the devil wants to devour you. And the word devour, you can look it up yourself in the Strong's Concordance, the word devour means to lick up, to slurp up. And it gives a picture of a lion eating the entire carcass of its victim. And then after eating it all, it's licking up the juices that are remaining to just lick it up, to make it disappear. That's the picture that Peter gives of the devil. He comes to you because he wants you to disappear. He wants you totally out of business. He wants to make you a sacrifice to him, not God. He wants to make you a sacrifice to him, not God. And like a roaring lion, after it gets its prey, he licks it, he slurps it, he sucks it, and he licks the any remaining juices that are left of the victim of the carcass. That is what Peter's saying the roaring lion does. He seeketh, goeth about to devour. And so I know some of you are sitting there saying, oh, wow, that's heavy. Yeah, it's heavy. And but it's the picture that both Peter gave and also Jesus gave of what the devil wants to do. He wants to make you disappear. He wants to lick up any remains of you, to literally disintegrate you and destroy you. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Notice it says in verse 10, and the God of all grace. Remember, Jesus came and brought grace and truth to us, mercy and truth, grace and truth. The God of all grace, verse 10, hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. I'm glad I've been called to God's eternal glory. You know, I'm not sure I understand all of that phrase, but I sure want to go there. Amen? After that, after you've suffered a while, oh, you mean I got to suffer? Well, some of you are sitting out there, and it's obvious you've been suffering this week. After you suffer a while, he makes you perfect and establishes you and strengthens and settles you. So we know what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill, steal, and devour or destroy. And Peter gives us a perfect picture of how Satan wants to cause you to disappear. Now, Jesus Christ had a better plan, a greater plan, a beautiful plan for you and I. So let's go back and see Jesus at work in John chapter 10. Let's take a trip back to John chapter 10, and let's see Jesus at work. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, and I understand that Jesus is also referring to the deceived Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. He's referring to the false shepherds, the false teachers, the false prophets. But ultimately, they were deceived and working, whether knowingly or unknowingly, for the devil. And Jesus Christ comes and rebukes them and says, I come through the door. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. I come to give my life for the sheep. I come to die for the sheep, and I come to bring them abundant life. And so Jesus talks about how he's the door. He goes through the door. He's the true shepherd. He's a good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And he tells these leaders that he was coming legally through the Judean law, legally through the womb of a woman. He's coming in to fulfill the law, to complete the different types of sacrificial laws and ceremonial laws. And he said, I'm come to bring life to my sheep. He said, I not only have sheep here in this sheepfold, but he said, I have sheep that's outside the sheepfold, that they're in other places. And they know me, I know them, and I'm looking for them. Amen. Now, if you're not born again right now, got some good news. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking for you. Amen. And so Jesus Christ says, this is how it works. As we look at it, we understand that Jesus Christ said in verse 4 and 5, he says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he's talking about the true shepherd, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Aren't you glad you know the Lord's voice? And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know the voice of strangers. And so Jesus Christ is telling them, I am come that you might have life and more abundant life. Jesus came to bring to us abundant life. Even though the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus Christ said, I've come down to bring you abundant life. Isn't that beautiful? Now let's see Jesus at work, because you're really getting ready to be blessed here. You need to understand something. In verse 27 through 29, Jesus Christ boasts of his power. He declares his ability to save the sheep that know his voice, to bring eternal life to them and give them abundant life. Here's what he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. That is abundant life, by the way. And they shall never perish. That is abundant life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. Everybody say, which gave them me. See, when you look up here and look at me and hear me preach, you need to understand the Father gave me to Jesus Christ. Until you learn that great truth as a believer, you're not going to grow in the Lord. You're not really going to appreciate being born again until you realize that the Father gave you first to Jesus. And he gave you to Jesus so that Jesus could save you, seal you, and bring you into eternal life. He gave you to his son, Jesus Christ. Now notice it says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I don't want to confuse you, because I do believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I do believe that some are not predestined to go to hell and some are predestined to go to heaven. I believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I do believe that everyone has an opportunity. Many are chosen. But notice verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. How did God the Father call us? Through the Good Shepherd. How did God the Father, gave us, if we're born again Christians, God the Father gave us to Jesus Christ. And Father God used his son to call you. You knew his voice, a stranger you wouldn't follow, and you came, and Jesus Christ said, when you come, I give unto you eternal life. No man's able to pluck you out of my hand. Not the thief, not the killer, not the destroyer. You're protected. Amen? See, we were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And God the Father called us. And he called the chosen. Now, you may not think you're the chosen. But if you don't understand chosen, and you've not been born again through the blessed assurance that you've been chosen, then you're just frozen. Amen? You're just too cold. But many are called, and I believe that Jesus calls, and the Father gives people to his Son, and Jesus comes. You say, well, how does anyone know who's chosen, who isn't? Well, if you come to Jesus, you're chosen. If you get up out of your seat and come to Jesus Christ, he said, I will no wise cast anyone out that comes to me. So if you come, you're chosen. If you don't come, you're not chosen. Amen? I love Charles Spurgeon's statement. He said, let me explain it to you. When you get to heaven, and it says up at the front, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you walk through the door and turn around at that door, you'll see above it, chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen. See, the beautiful thing is God has prepared abundant life for you and I. Hello. And Jesus comes to speak his word, and when he speaks the Father's word, they hear. And Jesus saves them. The Bible says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish. They shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now let's look at this in another way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 says, we've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ bought us by his blood. Amen? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God. God not only bought your spirit, God bought your body. That's why one day we're going to have a glorified body. God bought you with a price. The Bible says you are bought with a price. And be not ye the servants of men. So we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the high price of God's blood. He agonized on the cross of Calvary, And we are bought with a price. By the way, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are to glorify God, which we are to glorify Him in our body and our spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:23 talks about being purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you've been bought with a price? Amen. Now, if I go buy something, then I am personally responsible for keeping what I buy. If I go buy something that's very valuable, I am not going to let a thief steal it. Now, do you really think the devil can steal you once Jesus buys you? You're in safekeeping. You've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus Christ buys you with His holy blood. The God the Father seals you, and you're sealed into the day of redemption, and you've been bought with a price. You're saying, preacher, 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 you're making it too hard for us to ever get lost. Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Who would want to do that anyway? Hello? I worry about people that want to try to be lost because they don't have enough soup in their soup bowl to survive. Amen? Come on. You say, preacher, you ever met them preachers? They try so hard to get you lost. And they try so hard to make it hard to go to heaven. They try so hard to get people under rules and restrictions that it ain't no fun going to church simply because you're put under man's bondage. But when you come to church and you hear about God's power to redeem and give us abundant life, church is wonderful. Amen. You'd say, oh, what do you mean about you're making it too easy for us to sin? You don't need it made easy. You do it anyway. Come on. So you're giving us a license to sin. Yeah, you do it without a license. But anyway, but notice that we're bought, and Jesus buys us with His blood, and so He is obligated to not let anybody steal us. Let's go back and see Jesus work in John chapter 10. That's what He said. They come to Me, I save them, they hear Me, they hear My voice, I know them by name, they come to Me, I give unto them eternal life, they're in My hand, no man can pluck them out, they're in the Father's hand, no man can take them away, I preserve them, I take care of them. But let's remember one thing. Verse 29, My Father which gave them Me, chosen. Now, many of you are not going to understand what I'm about to say, and I even hesitated on sharing this, but I thought, our Wednesday night crowd are tough. They can handle anything. They're strong in the Word and strong in the things of God. So I figure you can take this. Amen. If you can't take it, wait a while. You'll grow up and understand it. Amen. When Jesus Christ came to earth and He spoke the Word, His sheep knew His voice. They responded to His voice, and a stranger they would not follow. The strangers, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to bring you life, and life more abundant. Abundant life. To give you a new life. To give you a God life. Give you a blessing. So here's the deal. And this is an awesome deal. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ died for our sins. As far as God was concerned, before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ. So how do you know you're chosen? Well, if you're in Christ, you're chosen. God chose Jesus. You get in Him, you'll be chosen. Hello? God chose one man. God chose one man, the Son of God. God chose one man, Jesus Christ. And if you get in that man, you're chosen. Amen. Told you I'm going to put some heavy stuff on you. See, God, when Jesus Christ came to earth, He realized that there were people at the door and thieves and robbers were still in the packages at the front door. How many know what I'm talking about? What they call it, UPS and what was it, the... what they call that one, they mail you packages and put it on your door. Amazon. FedEx, Amazon, whatever. And you know, in the city of Chicago, one of the big problems was is people were stealing the packages. They were following the delivery truck around. And as soon as the delivery truck got out of sight, FedEx or Amazon or whatever, they would go up to the front door and they'd grab the package and run. So the police of Chicago and some of the other cities followed it, big cities in America followed suit with it. They put tracking devices in the packages, UPS in the package. And they made the package addressed to certain homes. And unbeknownst to the Amazon driver, unbeknownst to, because they didn't know who was stealing it, for all they knew it was them. And so unbeknownst to them, they would leave a package at certain addresses. And then these people would steal the package and they would beat it home. And by the time they beat it home, not knowing what was in the package, the police are knocking on their door. Because we have a tracking device. Well, when Jesus Christ came to earth, he had a tracking device. He was tracking you down. By the way, he still has that. He had the tracking device. Say, what is it? It's more high tech than what we have. But God has a tracking device. And he knows them that shall be heirs of salvation. He knows ahead of time who are chosen, who are to be heirs of salvation. So he puts a tracking device on them. And so when the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and they get in false doctrinal churches, or they get in false prophet circles, and they get into error, and the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy them, Jesus Christ just follows the package. He finds you. He talks to you. Hello? It's kind of like this. They steal the package and you run home and shut the door. And Jesus knocks on the door. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. That's what happened. Jesus had a tracking device on me. And he knocked on my door. You say, how do you know he had a tracking device? Because when I heard his voice, I said, yes, that's right. I knew because I was a sheep that knew his voice and I wouldn't follow the stranger. And so Jesus said, I've just come down here to go to the sheep pen. I just came down here to go to the sheep pen because I'm the good shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. I'm the door of the sheep. I just come down here to the sheep pen, all you Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, all you false prophets and false teachers, listen to me. Listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And all the sheep bounce up, look ahead, and run for him because there's a tracking device in every one of them little fellas that come to Jesus. Amen? People that don't know Jesus, I'm told that sheep, when they get scared, when sheep get afraid, the shepherd's not near, and a stranger comes around, I'm told that sheep, instead of watching the threat with their eyes focused on the person, instead of watching, you know, the danger and lining up in a group of strength and watching what's coming, they get in a circle and they stick their heads together. And their little sheep hindies are sticking out. Now, folks, that's not a good strategy. How many know that's really stupid? I'm not going to do that. I hear the voice. And so Jesus' whole plan is so that you don't have your head stuck together. Can you imagine the sheep getting their head stuck together? What are we going to do? They're too dumb to know what they're going to do. So Jesus speaks and they turn around and they look and say, there he is. That's the one I've been looking for. There is. That's the one that has true life. There is. That's the one that loves me. There is. That's the one, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. That's the one that the Father God sent to earth to be the chief shepherd of the world. That's the one, the redeeming shepherd, the one that would die upon the cross of Calvary. That's the one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the one. He makes me lie down in green pastures, plenty to eat, and leads me beside the still waters, plenty to drink. That's the one. And so our job isn't to save anybody. Our job is to speak the word of God, because there's a tracking device. And the ones that don't listen, then obviously they're not as sheep. But if they hear it, they are. And that's why we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because we don't know who is given to Christ and who isn't. And by the way, they don't either. Everybody has a free choice. Everybody can say, no, I don't want God. Or yes, I do want God. God is never going to say no to someone who wants God. God is never going to say no to someone who comes to Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ declared very clearly, if you come to me, I'll save you. But you're not going to come to him until the tracking device is activated. You're not going to come to him if you're too cocky and prideful. You're not going to come to him if you don't believe this message. You're not going to come to him if you're not yielded to the things of God. You're not going to come to him if you have too big an ego and too much pride. But when you're ready and you hear the voice of Jesus Christ and you realize you cannot be your own God, God is God, Jesus is Savior, and when you come to that realistic attitude in life, then you can be saved. And no one can be saved until the God the Father convicts, draws them to his Son Jesus Christ, and they believe that Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, gave his life for our sins. He died on the cross of Calvary, Jesus did. He shed his blood, Jesus did. He gasped for breath and yielded his spirit into the hands of the Father, Jesus did. He took the crown of thorns upon his head. He took the whipping, the lashing, the dying. He suffered and suffocated on the cross. He cried out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Remember them. Remember them, Lord. Forgive them. And the moment we realize that and believe that, we hear his voice, and a stranger we will not follow. And praise God, he's such a big God. When they buried him in the tomb, he got up 3 days and three nights later, rose again from the grave. He's our living Savior, our chief Savior, which lives forever. Amen. Isn't that good? He comes to give us abundant life. I'm going to wrap this message up, and I want to say something to you. Remember, when you reject Jesus Christ, all you're doing is headed for a life of tragedy. The devil, like a roaring lion, is going to lick you up, and you're going to vanish. You're going to be totally, you're going to disappear. Now, does that mean you're not going to hell? No, that means you are going to hell. But you're going to disappear, and everything about you will be forgotten. One of the sufferings of hell, one of the horrifying descriptions of hell, is that you will be forgotten. You'll be in hell, and no one will know except those that are in hell with you. You think we in heaven are going to know you're in hell? No, we're not going to know that. Why? You say, how do you know that? The Bible says God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. He'll wipe that. I don't know how God will do it, but he'll remove all remembrance of our loved ones that didn't make it. We won't know they're there. They will be forgotten. They'll be burning in hell, but they'll be forgotten. So explain that to me, okay? I'll explain it to you. I had 8 brothers and 2 sisters. I know all 10 of my siblings, I included. But I don't know a one of my siblings that wasn't born. The only way you can know a sibling is for that sibling to be born. And the only way for you to know your sibling when you go to heaven that misses Jesus Christ, that sibling's going to have to be born again. If that sibling isn't born again, there'll be no record. Ain't that awesome? Think about what I'm saying. There'll be no record. And they'll be in hell. They'll be burning. They're there forever. They'll be devoured by the lion, licked up, slurped, and gone, and destroyed. And they'll be in hell and be forgotten. And I don't remember, you don't remember any brothers or sister, sibling that wasn't born. You say, well, I don't remember because they never was born. Yes, and we won't remember them because they never was born again. It's so sad that they go to hell. Let me share this little thought with you, and we'll conclude this sermon. Remember, Jesus Christ said to the thief on the cross, when that thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You remember that phrase? That thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus Christ said to them, this is in Luke 23, verse 42 and 43. And Jesus Christ said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? Because that man asked Jesus to remember him. Psalm 112, verse 6. This is what it says in Psalm 112, verse 6. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Jesus will remember us, but if you're so unfortunate as to go to hell, you will be forgotten and abandoned because a ferocious lion did not just can devour you and eat you, but slurped up every remembrance of you, licked up every liquid of your existence. You're gone. So, preacher, I just hate it when you preach like this and I feel all them, you know, heebie-jeebies getting all over me. You know, I feel weird, you know. I just hate it because I feel like, man, I need to go to the altar. That might be telling you something. Your GPS may have got activated. Amen? Tracking device has just been activated. And Jesus tracks you down and says, here, let's get this settled. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Now, does John 10:10 mean more to you? No wonder it's Googled so much in a four-week span. People are trying to figure out, what is this abundant life? Well, this abundant life is what takes you from this life to the other life. And you have peace and safety and contentment in your heart because you're a Christian. That's abundant life. Does God want you to prosper? Does God want you to have a nice income, a nice home, a nice car? Well, God's not opposed to that. He's not opposed to that, but I'm not here preaching a name it, claim it, get rich gospel. I'm just trying to tell you what the Scripture says, and the Scripture says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come to give us life, and that life more abundantly. Oh, yeah, I believe the Lord wants me to have a new car. I believe the Lord wants me to have a little money. I don't think he gets any glory out of me with holes in my shoes and my clothes falling apart. But I'm telling you right now, a man that doesn't have a shirt on his back can give more glory to God if he's redeemed than some idiot that thinks he's got it all because he's got all the money and a big fat bank account. Because God's not looking at that. Amen. Stand with me. Now, I just shared with you a very famous verse. And I hope this famous verse has spoke to you. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, you have that abundant life. Amen. You have it. It's yours. And God has given you safety and protection in your heart. And if you get astray, tracking device. Amen? See, Jesus bought you. He paid a big price for you. You get missing, he's going to hunt you down because there's a tracking device on you. He'll come after you. And next thing you know, you'll think everything's all right, and you'll hear, and you're like, who's at the door? And then you'll hear a voice, I am. And you're thinking, shh, be quiet. He'll go away. No, he won't. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, sup with him, and he with me. That's the God I serve. That's the God I honor. That's the God that keeps me. That's the God that saved me. That's the God that loves me. His name is Jesus Christ. That's my God who will not allow me to be destroyed or slurped up and disappeared by the sucking lip, slurping of the lion. I am free, protected, powerful. Yeah, I reverence the devil. I'm careful not to do things that brings problems into my life. But I am so glad that the ultimate power in my life is not a lion roaring. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah roaring in majesty and glory. Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Maybe you feel that tracking device coming on. Come on down.